on. This is Jeffrey Meldon welcoming you to Law Talk Live here in the studios. And we are live today. I'm here with my co-host, Carrie Meldon. How are you doing this morning, Carrie?
Good. I'm doing well, Dad. We're looking forward to a nice, crisp, I guess it's spring. I don't know if this is winter or spring morning, but it's been a great start to February, and I'm looking forward to all the things that we have going on in the next few weeks, both with regards to the Gator sports as well as our law firm, you know, continuing our lawyers' education. We've got a lot of cases that we're working on right now, and things have been really, really bustling at the office. So it's been a really, 2023 has been very exciting, and it's gone by very quickly so far.
Yeah. We come on here on Saturday and have a good time. We like to hear from y'all. The phone number here is 877-975-9825. Give us a call, 877-975-9825. Of course, we love coming on Law Talk Live, let you know what's going on. There is a ton of stuff going on. I wanted to plug something, Carrie, that's coming up February 24th that our crowd on Sky should really attend. It's free, first of all, and secondly, it's at the Matheson Museum, 513 East University Avenue in Gainesville downtown. And the program is The Gainesville Music Scene in the 1970s, featuring the Great Southern Music Hall and the photography of John Moran. And there's a huge exhibit that's on the walls of the Matheson Museum that's really amazing. A couple folks collaborated. John Moran collaborated with Rick Kilby, and we got Bill DeYoung, who was the writer for the Gainesville Sun for the entertainment section for years and years and years. He did all the writing, and Rick Kilby did the graphic layout. It's an amazing show. Anyhow, February 24th, 7 o'clock, we're having food, drinks. It's going to be a big party, and it's free. And it's going to be a discussion with the founders of the Great Southern Music Hall and the team members. Jim Forsman, who co-founded it with myself, John Moran, who did he was the house photographer, and Albert T. Badgey, who was the booking agent. And Carrie, you grew up with Albert, so
yeah, it's a great exhibit, and Albert has some great stories. There's a podcast on Meldon Law and Friends that I believe you guys recorded back in 2020. That's in our archives, and the listeners out there, if you want to hear some really cool history about Gainesville in the 70s and 80s, it's actually a historic recounting of rock and roll music in Gainesville on this podcast. And the guest that you're going to be looking for is Albert T. Badgey, spelled T-E-E-B-A-G-Y, and Jim Forsman, F-O-R-S-M-A-N. And in that podcast, Jeffrey, Albert, and Jim go through their experience opening up what was the showplace of the South, the Great Southern Music Hall.
Yeah, it's really exciting because a lot of folks from Gainesville actually attended the shows there. And we're going to give an opportunity during this party, February 24th at 7 o'clock, to have everybody who comes there share their stories as well. We want to open it up. Bill DeYoung is going to be the MC and ask questions of all of us and lead things through the evening. And we're very, very excited because we want to share this rich history that Gainesville had. As many of you know, we have 9 members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame from Gainesville. And we want, and a lot of them are up on the wall. So check it out. And we're really excited that we're going to share it. So that's something else going on. What's going on with Meldon Law and Sports, Carrie?
Well, we've got the Gator men's basketball game today versus Kentucky, or tonight. I think we're 5-point underdogs, according to the latest line. So Kentucky's favored. But the Gators have been playing very well recently, other than the Kansas State game. They were able to upset number 2 Tennessee last week. And I know that our women's basketball team is doing great. We have a really good softball team this year. We're going to have good baseball teams. We're going to have our tennis teams are also very good. We've got a lot to look forward to in spring sports for the University of Florida.
Yeah, and we're giving away tickets on Facebook. We've got gymnastics coming up this Friday. Last night, the Gators won convincingly in gymnastics, so that's good. And I think they posted like a 197.875, something really strong. Like when you get to a 198, you're in super, you know, highfalutin territory, and they were just a little over a tenth of a point away from that. So here's to the Lady Gators, and we're giving away two tickets for the Missouri meet coming up Friday, February 10th. So next Friday, I think it's an early meet. Check out the time and see what you can do. We love our Lady Gator gymnastics team. They're like an Olympic team. Have you ever seen a gymnastics meet, Gary?
No.
Wow. Well, anyhow, they're really rocking. We're number 2 in the country, and that's fun. What about that men's basketball game last week against Tennessee?
It was great. I love it. It was great. It was great. Yeah, and the Gator sports are always fun. I know we always talk about them on the show. We're going to transition to some legal stuff in a few minutes. We've got 1 minute until the break. But Jeffrey, before we conclude with all the Gator mentions, is there any way that the people out there can get tickets to these events? Can you please inform them the best way to go get tickets if they want to apply?
Go on our Facebook page, Meldon Law. And basketball, softball tickets, gymnastic tickets, they're all available. Just check us out on our Facebook page, and you too can get involved with it. And remember, we're here every week live, so give us a call here at 877-975-9825 on Law Talk Live, and we're going to a break, and we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Everybody knows that Meldon Law is the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators. But since they opened their doors in 1971, they have been the community partner of Gainesville, Ocala, and North Central Florida. Meldon Law is there through all kinds of weather, with offices in Gainesville, Lake City, and Ocala. Meldon Law, we won't back down.
All right. Good morning. This is Carrie Meldon with Law Talk Live. We're here at the Odyssey Station here in Gainesville, Florida. If you want to give us a call, our number is 1-877-975. That's 9825. That's 1-877-975-9825. You can call us and ask us any questions that you may have that are legally related. The first part of the show, we talked about the Gator sports and our activation. However, this part of the show, we're going to be talking about a legal topic that we feature every week. This week's topic is, if there was an automobile recall that caused an accident, am I, as the driver, held liable for any damages? So that's this week's topic. Jeffrey, we discussed this a little bit yesterday. Obviously, the listeners out there probably have all had automobile recalls of some sort. And what's an automobile recall? How would you define an automobile recall?
When an automobile manufacturer puts together the car or truck or whatever, if after putting it out into the public use, they discover that there's a defect that may affect the drivability of the car, mm-hmm. they're obligated to notify you of the defect. There's a whole series of federal laws that protect people, And you certainly want to know what the recall is. I've gotten recall notices on several cars. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it stems back to there's a politician named Ralph Nader. I don't know if you remember him. He was a pretty well-known labor libertarian type candidate. And he led the charge on a recall. I believe it was on the Pinto. There was a car called the Pinto, the Ford Pinto, I believe, in the 1970s. That was
earlier in the 60s,
which was catching on fire, and it was causing it was killing people. And that, I believe, that may have been the first vehicle. And I don't know for sure, but I believe that may have been the first vehicle that was recalled as a result of a defect in its manufacturing.
Yeah, I think in that case they had put the gas tank in the rear of the car, and that that meant if you were rear-ended, the gas tank was likely to explode.
Yes. Yeah, it was really dangerous. So what happened was there was a bunch of federal laws that were put into place to protect consumers and make sure that, that automobile manufacturers were manufacturing safe vehicles. Now, the question for this week is a little bit different, because the question is, let's say you buy a vehicle and then you get a notice. Usually it's a letter that you get in the mail saying that, you know, the tires are defective, or there's an issue with some part of the car, and that you there's a recall on it, and to please bring it into the manufacturer so they can fix it for free, and then they'll give you back the car. If you receive that notice and you decide not to go forward and get it fixed, and then you get into an accident that may have resulted from that that defective part, can you be sued because you failed to acquiesce to that notice?
Well, first of all, anybody can be sued for just about anything.
True. Very true.
The question is it likely that someone would get a judgment against the individual owner of the vehicle, not necessarily the driver, because as we know, the
owners,
both the owner and the, the owner's primarily liable in any crash. That's why you need to make sure if you loan your car out, you got a lot of insurance, because somebody else borrows your car and is in a crash, they're coming after you first.
But correct.
The bottom line is, in my opinion, if the manufacturer creates a defective product, then they have a duty to notify you. And if the duty or the responsibility for an injury or death caused by that defective car product, whether it's a truck, whatever it is, it's primarily on the part of the auto owner to take reasonable action. However, in my opinion, if I was bringing in a suit, I would go against the auto manufacturer first, because they're the ones that created
the dangerous condition
to begin with. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think there's a couple different things you have to look at. First of all, with regards to the accident, there still has to be proof that the accident was caused because of the defective part. Just because the vehicle has a recall on it, it doesn't necessarily mean that that part that was recalled is what caused the accident. So that needs to be examined independently to determine what was the fault of the accident. You know, in the state of Florida, in a products liability case, the state of Florida adopts the doctrine of strict liability, meaning it doesn't matter why the part failed. If the part fails, the manufacturer of that part, and whether it's a plastic bag or car, it could be any type of product, is strictly liable for the damages that are caused by that failure. So what I think you're saying is exactly right. The manufacturer caused the dangerous condition regardless if they sent notice. Now, that being said, I do believe there are affirmative defenses to strict liability, one of which is assumption of risk. So if the manufacturer can somehow prove that the driver knew of the defect, of the recall, and chose not to repair it, and a certain amount of time had gone by in which they had the opportunity to repair it, if they can prove that, that possibly could be a defense. It's a very interesting question. It's one, like you said, where most likely the lawsuit's going to be directed at the manufacturer for a multitude of reasons. However, the driver or the and or the owner, it could be one and the same, it could be different, are still potentially at fault if they knew of this recall and they chose not to do anything about it. So I think the lesson to the listener out there today is if you get a recall, please go get your vehicle fixed as soon as possible to not only protect the other people out on the road, but also to protect and insulate yourself of any liability.
Yeah, you know, the other problem a lot of folks get into is you get notice that something in your car needs to be replaced, and then are they going to give you a rent a car when you drop it off? Are they, you know, or
yeah,
a loaner car? Are they going to, you know, you've got a busy schedule, and you know, you got
a great point.
You know, you got to be at work early, and you know, there, so it can be really inconvenient for the owner of the vehicle. So I think that's why I'm hesitant as far as saying who's going to be, whether the owner would be responsible. However, in the event that the manufacturer sent out certified letters that you received, and they had you know, big warnings like you need to get your car, you know, fixed immediately.
Correct.
Do not drive it. And they sent more than one of those, and they were really emphatic that it's a life-threatening condition in your car, that would maybe shift some of the responsibility to the car owner.
And it should, due to public policy safety concerns. I mean, if the auto manufacturer discovers there's something wrong with their car, do you want them hiding it, or do you want them to come and try to correct the problem? I think we all agree we would prefer that they try to correct the problem, and the only way they can do that is through recalls. So I think it's a tough question. It's an interesting question. I haven't had to deal with it yet, but I can foresee that happening. Obviously, what Dad was saying about the notice requirements, you know, how clear is the recall information? You know, what is the timing with regards to the recall information? If you get the letter this on the same day the car ends up, you know, having a defect that causes an accident, is that enough time to be able to cure that defect? Probably not. There's a lot of different things that you have to look at, a lot of different factors to determine liability when it comes to a product defect. And you see this all the time now. Oh, are we going to break?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to break, and then we'll come back. We'll finish up.
Yeah, I got some more thoughts on this, Carrie. On the backside, we're going to finish up our discussion on product liability.
Okay.
And we'll be back on Law Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Maria Youngblood, an attorney at Meldon Law and graduate from the University of Florida. Everybody knows that Meldon Law is the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators, but since we first opened our doors in 1971, we've been the community partner of Gainesville and North Central Florida. Meldon Law is there through all kinds of weather, with offices in Gainesville, Lake City, and Ocala. Learn more at MeldonLaw.com. Again, that's MeldonLaw.com. Meldon Law, we won't back down.
That was great. I just heard Maria's commercial she just put out. She's a crackerjack attorney with Meldon Law. She's got incredible Gainesville roots, and her family is very artistically challenged. They're very artistically, what would be the word?
Gifted.
Gifted. That's the word I'm looking for. Her cousin plays baseball, I believe, for the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
And then I believe one of her other cousins is the playwright that wrote the famous musical Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda, right?
Correct.
So she's got some pretty incredible family members in terms of their talent. And her family's originally from Puerto Rico, so she's got a really cool story. And she also is bilingual, so she helps all of our clients that speak Spanish, and it allows Meldon Law to reach more people in our community because of her ability to translate what's going on in Spanish to Jeffrey and myself, and she handles the cases and does a great job.
Yeah, and my daughter Jessica grew up with Maria's younger sister, and so we've known the family for years and years and years. And Maria's dad is a doctor here in town. And so anyhow, we're very excited about all the team members that Meldon Law has. We have top-notch attorneys and team members that really deliver an extraordinary service. And I'm very proud, Carrie, that, you know, the results we get. We know what other law firms get and how we do as far as negotiating settlements. And I can tell you that we're... you know, head and shoulders above the rest, and I'm very proud of that. Anyhow, let's get back to the topic. You know, product liability, a lot of it just has to do with thinking through what caused the crash. In other words, was it driver error or mm-hmm. was it the product error? You know, most of the time, if there's a problem with the car, the whatever the recall notice was all about, does not directly lead to a crash. We get calls all the time. People go, oh, my car was, you know, got a recall notice, and what can I do to get money out of it?
Yeah, exactly. So, and there is, generally speaking, you know, it's not that often that these recalls result in accidents. They can, especially with tires, for example, because tires are crucial with regards to safety. And if a tire has a default on the road, especially if you're traveling at high speed, there's a likelihood there's going to be an extremely serious accident and potential injury. However, a lot of these recalls have to do with electronics and things that may not necessarily cause an accident, and therefore there is really no lawsuit.
So we get into this issue of causation in every case, really, because somebody rear-ends you and you were... already injured. Your neck was already injured. You were already required to go to a doctor before the crash, and now you're in a crash. What are your options, Carrie, as far as having a more acute or a crash worsening a condition?
What do you mean? Can you re-ask that question? Because I want to make sure I'm answering it correctly.
Okay. Yeah, you're in a crash. However, you already had a pre-existing condition. Your neck was bad, and we were talking about causation.
You're talking about an injury, whether an injury is aggravated as a result of an accident. Well, in the state of Florida, there's obviously a remedy or relief that one can get when they have their injury aggravated as a result of an accident. And we all know that. I mean, probably the listeners out there probably have a hip injury, or they have a shoulder injury. They have a knee injury. They have something that bothers them on a daily basis. And if you get into, if you fall down and let's say you're on your ladder and you fall on your shoulder, which is already injured, there's a likelihood it's probably going to get worse, right? It's just common sense, just like anything else. I mean, you have a knee injury, an old lingering knee injury, and your ligaments are holding together, but they're probably not as strong as they may be in the other leg. And then you get into an accident, the ligament pops. Obviously, that's a much more significant injury that occurred because of the accident. And even though it was pre-existing, the aggravation under Florida law is recognized as a recoverable injury.
Yeah, and I think it's important. We get calls all the time from folks who were, they may have had a pre-existing condition, however, they were getting by, and
what life is about is just getting by, and and until you can't get by anymore. You know, the question with everybody, you know, what is the saying, the moment that you're born, you start dying, and, you know, everybody has a finite period of time on this earth. Everybody is dying every single second. The question is the manner in which you're able to live. You know, what causes you, what allows you to have enjoyment of life? You know, for some people, the ability to play sports isn't really important. For other people, it might be the ability to taste food. It could be the ability to listen to music. I mean, everyone has different things that really contribute to their enjoyment of life. And so, that's kind of cool that people are all different, but we have to understand that each case that we deal with, you know, someone who can't walk on or can't participate in sports at the age of 35 may be considered different in the eyes of the law than someone who's, you know, 80 years old and may not be able to participate in their everyday normal activities. So, you know, that's all something that we look at, and it's something that I want listeners out there to know. I don't know, how do we get onto this topic from products liability? I'm trying to figure out the train of thought.
We're talking about causation.
Okay, all right.
In other words, if it's a, so to kind of sum up here, if in fact there's a product recall on your vehicle, the question, and you're in a crash, the question is, did that defective product in your vehicle lead to the causation of a crash?
Well, the answer to that question, I like that question, because the answer is, I think it could be one or the other or combined. I mean, sometimes it can be user error along with the product defect. It doesn't just have to be black or white. I think the situation you have to look at is what initially caused the accident, and then did the user have the opportunity to avoid the accident later on? For example, you know, let's say someone's tire blew out, right? And then the user decided not to pull over but try to get to the next rest stop on a flat tire. There may be comparative negligence there on both sides.
Yes. The negligence there could be twofold. Number one, the defect in the tire, mm-hmm. Combined with the error. And sometimes, you know, the idea of comparative negligence means that more than one party can contribute to an accident. Sometimes it's two defendants contributing. Sometimes the plaintiff contributes and the defendant contributes to an accident. And what we do in the state of Florida using comparative negligence is to apportion that so that the total liability equals 100%.
Correct. And it could be split however many ways. Well, we had a great show today. We've got 30 seconds left. Dad, why don't you take the show out, and we'll reconvene next week.
Yeah, so we want to encourage everybody to check out the Meldon Law Facebook page for free ticket giveaways. Also, go to the Matheson Museum website. Just Google Matheson Museum, and you will see the Great Southern Music Hall and the Music of the 70s presentation. It's going to be an awesome show. At the end of this show, we always say, go
Gators!
Gators!